Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Jennifer Grace, and welcome to the show today. I am super excited about today's show, as I'm always super excited about my shows, because I always find the most amazing guests to bring them on to bring you more personal development tools, more ways of transforming and taking your life to the next level. So before I tell you who today's guest is, of course, I always want to remind you that you can visit jennifergrace.com/free stuff. We've got a few more things happening before I take off for my little trip to Europe. On June 24th, there will be an online Getting Unstuck webinar from 12 to 1 p.m. or from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's a free master class to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And if you are here in South Florida, I will be doing a live event on June 21st in Palm Beach, another Getting Unstuck event. So please join me there and always check back at free stuff, jennifergrace.com/free stuff. There's always goodies and meditations and downloads and masterclasses that you can enjoy to keep developing yourself. So that being said, today's show is a really important topic. And it's all about really working with trauma and how to let go of deep-seated trauma and work through it through different techniques. And I've brought on now a new friend of mine and, of course, colleague, Dana Peicher. And she and I met in Greece a couple weeks ago at A-Fest, and it was just friend love at first sight. We just couldn't stop talking. We had a lot of mutual friends. We were both from the Miami area, but we definitely have a lot of the same energy, and it was great to connect. So, of course, when I got back to the States, I invited her on to the radio show and to tell you a little bit more about her. Dana is an international motivational speaker. She is a hypnotherapist and also an author. She specializes in trauma and disease and the correlation between the two. She works with people all over the world to shift their consciousness and teaches how peeling away our layers can bring us to ultimate healing. Through her speaking, she is known to connect with her audience in an intimate way, leaving a lasting effect. She's been featured as a TEDx speaker in Brides Magazine, multiple news venues, and more. You definitely need to check out her TEDx talk. We'll talk more about that later, but I know that it went viral and it was totally badass. So, Dana, hello. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction.
You're welcome. It was so neat. I have to share, you know, we're in, me and my best friend, Audrey, and my boyfriend, Sev, are in the car. And Audrey's just, you know, she's gone through some health stuff. And she was so lit up and so excited about this new hypnotherapist that she met that, you know, her whole thing is like, if she could just go back in time to the traumatic event, right?
Yes.
And change the neuroplasticity, change the emotion that is connected to that event. You know, she's been studying this forever. She just didn't know how to access that, how to go back and change the emotional connection to a traumatic event. And my boyfriend was sharing the same thing. He had a very traumatic event. They were broken into, him and his ex-girlfriend, by gunpoint. And somebody came into the house. And so anytime he and I, in the very beginning of the relationship, it's the same scenario. We're both in bed. It's a guy and a girl. And there he gets triggered. So all night he's traumatized thinking someone's going to break in because of that, you know, impact that event had. And I know you know all about this. So they're just blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, I've met this new incredible hypnotherapist. She's in Miami. She's going, oh, she also has a Fort Lauderdale office. And I said, what's her name? And she said, Jana. And I said, oh, the one, like, I met a lot of people at AFEST, but you and I was like, that's my girlfriend. Like, I know you. I've met you in another life. Like, immediately connected. I was like, we're going to be friends. And I was like, oh, the one person that I, like, took away from the whole AFEST that I'm definitely staying in touch with. And it was you. And I was like, oh, my God, that's such a small world. And it was so great. So I know Audrey's working with you now, and I'm going to be sending Sev your way.
Yes.
He's done some work around Psyche, which was really helpful. That started the reprogramming, but he's really excited to kind of cherry on the cake, do some work with you. So you can get excited about working with him. But before we dive into all these amazing tools and really talk about your process, you have an incredible story of how you came to then do this work. Can we rewind? What is it? 6 years ago, 8 years ago that you were in an accident, correct?
Yes. Well, first off, I'd like to also say the same thing about you. It's I find very rare to meet people that are in the transformational world that are very bold, also as like kind of no BS businesswomen as well, because you also are kind of someone that inspires me, that the way in which I'm outspoken and the way in which I kind of just cut through all the barriers and just, you know, whatever opposition I have of any, which we can even talk about later, you know, the education part, how I have to be kind of a lone wolf educating people on actually the supremely powerful effects that just a little bit of cleansing, a little bit of a refresher of the mind can have for your day-to-day life. You know, has been a bit of an educational piece. So I really resonated with you and the fact that you also have this very kind of strong personality and you get out there and communicate. So that's why I like you.
Thank you. Like attracts like.
Yes. So, you know, the essential part of, I'm a hypnotist, and it's interesting because before I was a hypnotist, I never in my life encountered it. It was not something, you're not born wanting to be a hypnotist. It's not really in many people's frame of reference. And every single person that I know that is a hypnotist came through and started working in it because they had some profound life experience that hypnosis was the ultimate key, the ultimate answer to having their transformation. So every single person that I know personally that's a hypnotist, we all kind of have similar reasons as to why we do it. It's not something you wake up, you know, and your dream is to be a doctor or something. This is something we've all found.
Yeah.
So my basic story is about 6 years ago, I was nearly killed in a car accident. I had to learn how to walk and talk again. It was very severe. I was young and I was one person, and within 30 seconds of my accident, basically I got smashed into a car, or a car smashed into me at 80 miles per hour. And I did three flips in my car and ended up landing upside down, hanging basically by my steering wheel.
Oh my God, babe.
So yeah, it was, the trauma mostly came from obviously being hit, but majority of my PTSD came from an utter lack of control.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do at all to save my life, you know, and I was basically dangling upside down for half an hour until they figured out a way to cut me out. You know, the jaws of life with the firefighters. So it was physical rehabilitation, obviously. You know, I had to learn how to walk again. But the most damaging part was the mental damage, the emotional damage. I went from being a very independent girl to all of a sudden I couldn't go to the bathroom without my boyfriend or my mom, you know, at the time, undressing me. So it completely stripped me of everything.
Yeah.
So I was working with a normal therapist, and she was very nice, and I did like her and I did connect to her. But ultimately, you know, I had this really stubborn part of my personality that I recognized that nothing was happening. You know, I was talking and talking and talking forever about the trauma, that I was very clear what happened. But at the same time, nothing was shifting. Just talking about my accident didn't make me feel any better. So I was very lucky, very fortunate to have met a woman who was a cancer survivor. And she, you know, lightheartedly recommended this trauma therapist. And she essentially said, I would not be alive today were it not for this trauma therapist.
Wow.
So I decided trauma, that's me. This is the woman I need to see. So I went to see her. And the first thing she said to me is, I'm a bit different. What do you think? And in my mind, coming from a very rational, skeptical, you know, logical human being, she said, I'm very different. And I said, whatever, I'm desperate. And then she approaches me with the fact that she is a hypnotist. You know, she does all her work through hypnosis. And I said, okay, everything, except for that. I'm open, not that. And again, I didn't really know much about it. And so basically after 6 or 7 sessions of working with her, getting to know her, getting to like her, I finally agreed. I was in the first session, literally the first session. There was a monumental shift. Something shifted in me in a very profound way. And within a month and a half, all of my PTSD was gone, my post-traumatic stress. The next month, my depression, and the next month, my anxiety. So within 3 months, and I'm sure you know about PTSD, you know, PTSD is something that people have their whole life potentially. And oftentimes, like you said, with your boyfriend, you know, it could be one instance. It happened once. That's it.
Yep.
You know, so why do we give so much credence and so much meaning behind something that happened once when there's so many other things that have happened in life? So anyway, through working with her, she very quickly cleaned me up. And within 3 months, she took someone that was basically suicidal to living, thriving again.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. And it's all through hypnosis.
Yes. All through hypnosis. She did energy healing as well. You know, she was a very special woman. Very.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Then you went on, did you study under her? Where did you study for your hypnosis?
So no, I studied at this alternative medicine school that I studied hypnosis and NLP. And basically life coaching too, but they're more so really focused on, you know, hypnosis and NLP. And a lot of what I like to do now is I like to blend everything because I'm a believer that all of healing has to come, you know, physically, mentally, and spiritually at the same time. And there's different angles and different approaches. And I'm also a huge believer in a team of different people. I can't do it all. You know, there are people that, again, one of the things I specialize in is illness, chronic illness, because, and we can maybe get into that a bit later. And that's also a bit of a personal story, but it evolved in a different way, And that being said, you know, I know what works for me, let's say nutritionally. I know that if you eat a certain way, then you're going to feel better. But that being said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. There are people that I'm recently getting to know that I'm recently saying, okay, you know, because every single doctor in my past had made me sicker. But now there's a whole evolution in individualized medicine and personalized medicine that is really more suitable for people with chronic illness. So I'm also a believer in, you know, work with your resources because there's a big need.
Yeah, really big.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. And so can you kind of break down, it was really interesting when you and I were at A-Fest and we got to see that incredible neuroscientist from Stanford. He was so fascinating. And he was really breaking down a lot of the brain science and what happens to us when an event occurs and how that trauma takes hold. And I love that his solution was hypnosis. And for you, I saw you like your jaw was on the floor. You were so excited because a lot of scientists aren't supportive of hypnosis. Yeah. They think it's all woo-woo bullshit. Excuse me, not supposed to say that on the show. Delete. I just saw you light up that, you know, here is this incredible scientist from Stanford University just totally getting behind the power of hypnosis. So that was really exciting. But can you kind of summarize what he was laying out for us at all? Because for me, it was like a little more gobbly goopy, but it was interesting.
Completely. So yeah, that was great. And before I went to this conference, I'll tell you what, because a lot of what I do is education, 50% of what I do, even individuals, every single time I meet someone, it's not like I say I'm a lawyer and they give up the questioning. The moment I say I'm a hypnotist, it's like there's a half an hour, you know, that's a half an hour of my time that I know that I'm going to have to explain. And oftentimes, you know, completely get resistance, and I get it. So before I went to Greece, I was a bit in, I'd say a funk, because I was thinking to myself, why do I care so much? Why do I care about doing this work with trauma and disease and these heavy topics and stuff like that? When in reality, you know, I am literally going in an uphill battle against so many different people that tell me there's no scientific evidence. Mostly when I talk to doctors, the first thing they tell me is, where's the evidence? And I say to them, listen, you know, talk to any single person that I work with that has had depression and now they don't have depression. I think that is evidence. And I understand, and I'm actually of that school of thought too, where there needs to be some type of foundation of statistics or something like that. It's me telling someone that it works is a whole other story as if there's a clinical study. So actually when I spoke to this neuroscientist and what he shared, and I did light up because it was, and there was multiple times during this conference that we went to, and the conference, the theme was biohacking. So time and time and time again, one of the mental hacks that they were very much touting was hypnosis. So for me, it was great. It was very, very much so validation that I have support in this world. Yeah. I don't have to feel so isolated, which is great, which is valuable in and of itself. But then there's this neuroscientist who says, his favorite thing in the world is hypnosis. It's not meditation. It's not mindfulness. It's not yoga. He says he sees merit in that. But when him and I had a conversation, he's like, meditation is hard. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it can be hard. That being said, my belief is, I'm a believer in all tools. But my belief is when you clear the subconscious mind of these past stories, of these things that are just still basically cobwebs and, you know, basically old food that you have in your refrigerator, you get rid of it and you create new room for new food, new thoughts. And so what he was saying is what he likes about hypnosis is it's a reframe. It's a kind of working with the mind through the use of imagination to allow for a broader perspective, an open perspective. And when you clear that space in the mind and then you begin a meditative practice, you're more than likely to succeed because there's space. You just created a lot of space in the mind instead of this old heavy suitcase of baggage. And now you have the present day stressors, but not this overload of life.
Yeah. Got it. And how, you know, to kind of break down and debunk the myths of hypnosis, because a lot of people are like, I don't want to be hypnotized. And what are they going to do to me? And, you know, like what happens during hypnosis? If you can kind of explain the process, I think it would be really enlightening for people who've never done it before and what it's like and what you feel and how it works.
Beautiful. 100%. Okay. So really, so hypnosis and meditation are sisters. I would say hypnosis is meditation with a purpose. So all I do when people come to see me is I put them in a meditative state. So they're in this Zen-like state. They're in this kind of bliss state, which allows for higher learning. So if you're in the hypnotic state for 20 minutes or the meditative state for 20 minutes, that creates healing brainwaves in general without any type of treatment, without anything being said except for relaxing the mind and body. Just by being in that state, it's healing. But when you do some type of treatment in that state, and it's not what people think it is with mind control, there is this element to hypnosis that if you are not on board, if there is something I say that is against your moral compass, your brain will reject it immediately. Yeah. So there's this concept in hypnosis of providing mental and conscious the conscious support. So if you have a desire, for example, if someone comes to see me to lose weight, for example, so they have, if they don't have the conscious desire, if it's not there in their own heart, in their own will to want to lose weight, there's really, first of all, less likelihood that I'm going to be as effective as I could be, because right. all hypnosis does is it marries the subconscious to the conscious. Your subconscious natural behavior to your conscious desire. But if you don't have any desire, it's like, I use this example all the time. If I see someone, let's say an alcoholic on the street, that I know for a fact I can heal them. But if they don't walk into my office themselves,
yep.
there's absolutely nothing I can do.
Right.
Because it has to come from them. So all I'm doing is creating your nature, allowing your nature to come into agreement with your desire.
Mm.
That's really it. And, oftentimes, you know, people have this fear, especially of regression therapy, where you go into old memories and stuff like that, because they fear they don't want to see something. What if something mm-hmm. traumatic comes up? But also something to be said about that is when you go into this dreamlike meditative state, you're reviewing it. You're not reliving it. And
right.
you're the adult.
That's a good distinction.
Yes, completely. And you're potentially a couple years older, and you are... If you're still feeling the effects of the trauma, then there's something to be said about that. But even if you do still feel the effects of the trauma and you travel back to the origin of that trauma, there's an element of detachment because you're just looking into it. You're not there anymore.
Yeah,
and the idea
it's
is
like
once you hit that core memory, exactly. Once you hit that core memory, whatever the ailment is, once you hit that core memory, like you said earlier, you can release the emotional ties to it.
Mm-hmm.
Creating neutrality, or oftentimes even a positive experience. And therefore your subconscious mind can say, okay, I'm safe in the world and I can function again.
Right. Yeah. That positive experience is really interesting. Like just reprogramming mm-hmm. that negative traumatic experience with a positive thought, belief that's attached to it, emotion that's attached to it. So when you actually think of it or you're triggered, it doesn't trigger mm-hmm. the fear and the, you know, and the trauma. It just triggers this like safe. I am safe.
That's it.
And is that from implanting like new belief systems under hypnosis? Is that how that occurs?
Yeah. So hypnosis is, I call it the ultimate mind hack because of that reason. Because when you go into these memories, and oftentimes there's times I don't do regression therapy. That just happens to be my favorite tool, but it's all about your beliefs. It's all about those underlying subconscious beliefs that are creating either a physical feeling, behavior, an addiction, or emotional issues. So when you change the belief pattern, when you go into the hypnotic state and you get to the origin of the belief pattern, the simple and complex magic to it all is just re-implementing a new belief, but it's not up to me to re-implement that. So basically, let's say something happened, you're 5 years old and you feel threatened. And when you go into that memory, the simplest thing I do is I say, okay, you felt threatened. Explain to me how you felt. I felt this and this and this way. And then all I say is, as the adult looking back, what kind of emotional resources did you need in that moment? And therefore they are reprogramming what they specifically think they need. So therefore I have no bias either. They go in and they know best.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
Yes.
And you know, it's so necessary for me to be connected with different healers like yourself. You know, because the world that I'm in, this kind of transformational world, I always tell my students, you know, there's two journeys. There's the transformational journey, and that's forward motion. That's, you know, the course that I teach, the coaching, CIJ, creating your new life and reality. But then there's also the healing journey. And what I've watched over the years, if students graduate, they have all these like amazing, powerful tools to redesign their lives and really go to the next level. And some will come back in and say, I keep self-sabotaging myself. And then I ask them one question. Do you have any unresolved trauma? And the answer is always yes. And then I say, have you done the work? And they say, no. And then I say, here's a piece of paper. And on that paper, I have, you know, 3 or 4 healers that I work with in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, which you will now be added to this list, my darling.
Yay!
that I just say, go see them, because, you know, you really do need both. And I just watch them. They fall back into the same hole, the same trap, because they are still, you know, our muscle holds memory. It holds the trauma, and all the transformational world, you know, tools in the world are only going to get you so far. And if you don't deal with that unresolved trauma, it keeps manifesting in different experiences, and it keeps tripping you up. So, you know, I'd love to say, take my class, you're transformed, you're healed, you're good for the rest of your life. But it's all of it is a piece of the pie. You know, we have to do read the books, listen to the CDs, go get healing, do transformation, go to A-Fest. I mean, it's like, even for us, you know, I'm about to embark on a 5-day deep transformational program as a student tomorrow, the gratitude training, you know, and I did all of Landmark education and I've done healing, like takes a village, man.
Completely.
But my darling, we are going to take a quick little break right now. When we come back in, I actually want to talk about the disease, the chronic disease that you are helping people shift and cure through hypnosis. So we'll have more of that when we get back in a couple minutes.
Let's say you're a mom and you want to put on the perfect birthday party for your twin daughters. So you get a clown and he dazzles everyone. And you order a cake and have the bakery put something nice on it.
Happy birthday, girls.
And you hire a pony to give everyone rides. And it all goes perfectly.
Best party ever, Mom!
And you're the perfect mom. But even if it doesn't go that way and your clown doesn't dazzle, and the bakery doesn't spell out the right message,
happy birthday, Gil?
And the pony doesn't give everyone rides, it can still be the perfect birthday party, because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best party ever, Mom!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems? Share your story.
4 years ago, I went through something that was very difficult for me. I was faced with a very big challenge at a young age. I didn't want to tell my parents. I really didn't want to tell anybody, and I didn't. I shut down. And that's not a burden that any young person should have to carry at all. Once I reached out to my sister, it got a little better. Once I told my mother, it got a little better. The more I talked about it, I felt it coming off. If you're strong enough to just open your mouth, that's all it takes.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. Together we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now back to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am here, if you are just tuning in with Dana Peicher, and she's an incredible international motivational speaker, hypnotherapist, and author. We've been discussing how to use hypnosis, which she is phenomenal at, to shift limiting belief systems to heal trauma. And Dana, now what I'd love to talk about is, how are you working with chronic disease, that people have chronic disease, and obviously you're not using medicine, right? You're using hypnosis to heal, to tell me.
Yes. So that is also stemming a little bit from my own personal journey. When I was healing from my traumas, to kind of briefly explain the background, when I was healing from my traumas from my car accident, before my accident, I have a history of being with chronic illness. I had chronic fatigue since I'm 18 years old, went to every single doctor, every single thing in the book, had every single, basically all my money as an 18-year-old went straight to medical stuff because I was young and ill and none of it made sense.
Right.
So I, over time through nutrition, was able to essentially heal myself. And I kind of managed, and I understood about detox and kind of like, okay, now if no one's going to help me, I'm going to have to figure this out on my own. And I did. But then after my accident, what was interesting is my illness flared up times 10, but then I developed fibromyalgia.
Wow.
Pain. Yeah. So initially I didn't put any of it together. But fast forward to working with this trauma therapist, when we never really worked on my illness with her. I would tell her here and there, I don't feel well, et cetera, but we mostly worked on life stuff and, you know, different, and not even just the car accident, just life in general. And
yeah.
Oftentimes when people come to me and there's like, I've never had trauma, I'm like, have you lived?
Yeah, right?
You know?
Everybody's had trauma. You think trauma is like, you know, sexual abuse or being held up at gunpoint, or trauma could be a divorce.
Oh.
You know, anything. Anything could be a small event could be traumatic.
Yeah. It can be smaller than that. It can be the way I explain trauma is that it's an event that you had one perspective and all of a sudden you have a shift in perspective. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing, you know? Yeah. I don't have, and when people say like, I have anxiety, but I've never had trauma. And I said, actually, sometimes I find that that's worse because now you quote unquote don't have a reason to justify your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel
right.
bad. You know, if someone had a big trauma, they're like, okay, I've had a trauma, so I have anxiety. But oftentimes the little tiny things in life, the little experiences in life that have compiled over time to create an emotional or a behavior or a habit or even potentially disease. So what happened when I was healing from my trauma with the accident and other things in life, I started realizing very interestingly that, you know, the next day I would feel less pain in my legs, or like my shoulders were able to kind of move more fluidly. And it was something I took note of, but I didn't really in the moment understand or pay attention to. It was just kind of like, that's interesting.
Right.
So fast forward, when I started working with people, I didn't start working with disease immediately because I didn't even put it together. It wasn't even in my in my concept, in my brain, that that was something possible. But I had this significant client who, she came to me for weight loss, and she's like, I have motivation to get to the gym, et cetera. She's like, but I'm in such pain that I don't feel motivated. So I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I have fibromyalgia. And I was like, okay, you know, I knew all about it and I've had it. So I was like, let's work on your fibromyalgia first. Let's go through your pain to the origin of your pain. And this was the first time I did that. This is the first time I did something like somatic, like something the body's experiencing. Because I did it at this point for addictions. I did it for habit. I did it for behavior. And then I was like, why not? You know, it's still something that the human mind is processing.
Right.
Right. And, but who thinks of that, you know?
Yeah, no.
So it's not something you would think about. So I was like, let's experiment. So let's go through your pain in your neck. And then by traveling through this somatic experience, I kind of make what I do is I amplify the tension or the energy around the neck. And then we go through the cellular memory all the way back to the origin of the pain. And her origin was something of the extent that her brother shoved her down the stairs. She had like a crooked neck for like a month and then went away. And then years later, it came back. It was chronic, very stiff, chronic pain. And after that one session, she starts moving her neck. She hadn't moved her neck in 20 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So I had this like light bulb of what just happened.
Right.
What just happened? I kind of like approached her with this interesting, let's try this, you know? And then it was a big light bulb of, wow, emotional stress, emotional pain is, I would say even, I mean, back then I would say it's a big part, but now I say it's the biggest part of disease.
Mm-hmm. Especially they say that like 80% of your physical pain is from unresolved emotions.
That's it. So that's it. You know, to simplify it and to say it, just simply speaking, and even doctors will say this, they'll say, you know, you have too much stress in your life. So they'll tell you they're stressed out, but then they don't give you any resources or any information. What do you do with that stress?
Yeah.
How do you resolve it? So simply speaking, all I do is I take away the emotional stress, the emotional triggers that people, let's say with fibromyalgia have or MS have. So what happens then is whatever happens in their life that's going to stress them out, because stress is their trigger for disease. So let's say someone has chronic fatigue. You know, oftentimes the underlying message of chronic fatigue is if I step out into the world, you know, oftentimes women, very alpha women, not necessarily, but a lot of women that I have worked with have ambition in the world. They want to get out there in the world, but potentially come from critical parents. So what does that mean? Two signs. The critical parents created a beautiful map of I'm going to have ambition and I'm going to prove them wrong.
Right.
And on the flip side, which is great. Why not? And on the flip side, you know, if I put myself out there in the world, there's potential for me to be criticized and hurt and threatened. So oftentimes when I see people with chronic fatigue, it's only the body saying you need to hide in your room so you don't get criticized.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you, again, feel safe in the world, when you feel like you have a voice, when you're valid, when your opinion matters, your body can sometimes dramatically and sometimes subtly say, you know, I don't need to feel pain to protect myself.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so interesting to find that underlying belief system that's connected with behavior. And is that something that you kind of talk about before you go into hypnosis? Do you have kind of that time where you do inquiry with people to kind of see what their background was, the event, and then see what could have been that driving belief that might be causing the trauma or the disease or the pain, right?
Completely. Yeah. So we typically, the first time I speak with someone, I meet with someone, I gather a bit of history and, you know, what's happening, how long has this been happening? And oftentimes we'll talk a little bit about their thoughts of the origin. Mm-hmm. But funny enough, it rarely is their thought of the origin. Oftentimes it comes from when, like, you're a one-year-old. I mean, even yesterday I was working with this girl who has this ailment that she's like, I know that it came from this. And we're like, okay, let's explore. And what ended up happening was there was this little kind of benign memory. And I try to bring people all the way back, you know, from 0 to 5 as best I can. You know, there are things that happen later in life, but I try to bring them back.
Yep.
And this interesting memory came up that she's like, like, I don't think this is the origin. I was like, just let it be. We can analyze after. I always say
right.
that. Like, just
yeah.
whatever comes up. And what ended up happening was, afterwards, she did kind of put it together that it might be interesting that that might be the origin. So the subconscious mind doesn't work with logic. It's completely representations, images, pictures. It's not analyzing. That's what the conscious mind does. That's, we use the conscious mind to kind of put the puzzle pieces together. But the subconscious mind is the vast array of this huge puzzle. So what's beautiful about this work is I don't have to know. You don't have to know. Just by kind of going through this process, the subconscious mind will reveal, interestingly enough, the potential origin to the issue.
Right, right. Wow, that is so amazing. That's, it's really interesting. Do you ever use kinesiology?
I was for a little while.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I worked with another healer. I have her come into my classroom, my creative insight classroom at the Standard. And I'll have, one of my students, they have a vision board there, right? The beginning of the class, everybody makes their vision board, like what they want to have a breakthrough in. So there's a picture of love, two people in a loving romantic relationship. And so, she'll say to them, so you want to call love into your life, right? Yeah. And so then she'll do kinesiology to see if the subconscious belief of I deserve love, I'm ready to call love into my life, matches the conscious belief of I deserve love and I'm ready to call love in my life. And like 9 times out of 10, what they want and what they believe is incongruent.
Yeah, and, completely.
To start talking about manifesting, which is, of course, that's like my whole world. I wrote a book on manifesting. I feel like my entire creative insight journey is based on tools to get you out of your own way to manifest the life of your dreams. But when I started studying quantum mechanics, quantum physics, right after I saw the movie The Secret, and I personally made a vision board and it didn't work, I was like, okay, I get that there is this energy field. I get the law of attraction, but I didn't feel like, in the movie, there were the actual tools. The manual was not given. It was like, make a vision board. And then all of a sudden, everything that's on there is going to pop into the middle of the living room like it ridiculously did in the movie, right? So I knew that there is the law of attraction. I knew that like attracts like. I knew that there was this field of energy, but I didn't know how the heck to work with this energy field. So it really catapulted me on this journey to figure that out. And when I started learning by reading, the works of Greg Braden and Lynn McTaggart and watching endless YouTube videos on the Phantom Effect and just like absorbing myself with the science of it all, what it came down to is everything you think, believe, and feel is being channeled through your consciousness, creating your reality, the movie of your life. And the most important is actually the feeling, right? If you're sitting there and you're staring at this vision board and saying, I feel excited that I am now in a healthy, conscious relationship, and the itty bitty beep committee in your head is saying, you don't deserve love, you're going to die an old lady with 20 cats. And what do you feel? You feel lonely. You feel miserable. Yeah. You feel frustrated. You feel lack of self-love and self-worth. So that's actually what's unfortunately being communicated out into this energy field to say, are reading the emotion, the frequency, right? So what's my life's work is really between working with healers like yourself, the curriculum that I teach, everything that I offer my students is how can you get what you're thinking, your conscious, what you put on that vision board to align with the belief so that then you can evoke the proper feeling so that you're feeling it and you're believing it and you're thinking it. It's this like triple threat, because if you're only thinking it and you don't believe it and you don't feel it, manifestation cannot occur. So, I adhere to my healers, such as yourself, for the belief, because of course, I use tools like drawing your gremlin, naming it, calling in the voice of wisdom, overriding it. There's, affirmations, and there's all these great tools, but you have to go deeper and you have to heal that trauma, because again, those transformational tools are wonderful and they're great to continue using. But if you don't do that deep subconscious work, because you have no consciousness about it, right? People come in and they're like, oh, it's from, I've been mowing a lawn for 20 years. That's what the neck pain is. No, the neck pain is actually from this abuse event. This is what it's really from. And we don't really realize it. So delving into the subconscious via hypnosis is really the way through. So it's just so exciting, to have more tools to get people clear.
So just a couple things on that completely. So you said it exactly as is. And it's interesting because I work with manifestation as well. But there's
yes,
a couple
and
things.
And you have a
first
gift,
all,
don't you, for my yes. listeners. Tell them about that
yes,
gift really
I do.
Quick about
yes.
manifestation.
Yes, and I'll share that with you. A couple things just to kind of touch on what you just said. First thing, you're going to love this. Okay, so there's the subconscious, there's the conscious, and there's superconscious. Superconscious is our godlike selves. It's our connection to our higher selves. It's our higher knowing, okay? The subconscious is survival. It keeps you alive. It keeps you human. It's not meant to make you happy. It's not meant to make you find love. And actually, on the love context, most people are so afraid of love because love, as most people's childhood, was never good for a majority of people. So we have this beautiful like romanticism around love when most people fear love completely. They have such a fear around being vulnerable to love because subconscious things. So that's one thing. So subconscious, conscious, superconscious. So conscious is the way in which you interpret the world, and subconscious is your animalistic behaviors, your addictions and stuff like that, and all the memories and patterning and programming that you have. So when you clear out the subconscious mind, and not clearing as in you're erasing, clearing as in you're refreshing and creating more space, when you allow your habits and you heal your addictions and all that stuff, what happens through healing? You become more enlightened. The whole reason we have trauma and disease and addictions is to overcome them, to clear them out, to heal through them, through time, meditation, hypnosis, whatever it is. And by healing those things, your super conscious, your power of manifestation, your godlike self, has more space in the mind to become conscious. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, that's really cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's the best. And then so that's the piece of healing when it comes to manifestation. And lastly, you know, the first girl I ever worked with manifestation, she came in, she's like 29 years old. She's like, I want to be married in a year. I want to be a millionaire and I want to, et cetera. I'm like, okay. And I told her through conversation, I realized that she had a history of abuse. And I said to her, you know, the way in which I foresee working with this is we're going to have to clear that vibration. We're going to have to clear that belief system because all the subconscious mind does is called patterns of survival. So why do you have anxiety? Because it keeps you safe. Why are you depressed? Because it keeps you safe. This keeps you safe. Addiction, most likely in a skewed way, somehow keeps you safe. So everything we do is patterned for a patterning of survival. So if she feels threatened and from this abusive mind, that's what she has, she will not be able to manifest anything because her belief is, I am not worthy, like you said.
I'm not worthy, yep.
So that's kind of how that's cool that it works with manifestation because it creates the space in the mind for new vibration, new thought processes. And again, it peels away the layers of the subconscious cobwebs to allow space and time for your superconscious to be displayed consciously in your physical reality.
Yeah. Got it. And then the emotional part, you know, the feeling,
yes.
You know, that really became my life's work because I searched like high and low for, you know, the practical tools to emotionally feel the truth of what you are manifesting in the moment you're manifesting. So if you're sitting there, mm-hmm. you're looking at your vision board, you're saying your intentions, you're running this mind movie, I thought, you know, like, how are they going to manifest love if they're feeling lonely? How are they going to manifest, you know, money if they're bankrupt and frustrated or health if they don't feel that vitality? And so, yeah, they're believing it. Yeah, they're thinking it, but how do they churn up emotion? Mm-hmm. And a light bulb went off for me one day and I thought, you know, because I was a master manifester and I didn't know how I was doing it. I was just doing it and I was just really studying myself. And I realized that what I was doing unknowingly was using my actor's tools. I was an actress for 20 years. I don't know if you know this, my former life, SAG actress, filmmaker. That was my whole, from age five, really, I've been acting, and then classically trained in New York and here in South Florida. And so I didn't even realize that when I was closing my eyes, when I was running these mind movies, I was accessing different tools that I'd used from Uta Hagen and Stanislavski and Meisner. Because on stage, you know, look, if you see Meryl Streep up on that screen delivering a performance, you believe everything that woman is saying, right?
Completely.
Yeah, because she believes it. Because she... is accessing the emotional truth of that character. And so there's lots of techniques that actors use to get to the truth. Like when you see crappy acting, you're like, ugh, it's so obvious they're just delivering lines. They don't feel it. And so the audience doesn't believe it. So I started thinking about the universe as the audience. And I started going, oh my gosh, this is it. I am using substitution. I'm using the Meisner technique. I'm using all of these techniques to feel my future self's new reality while I'm manifesting. And I was able to put that emotional truth out there along with the thinking and the believing and then the feeling. And I wrote Directing Your Destiny. I wrote my book on that. And when Wayne Dyer read my book, he read my first manuscript. He said, this is your original contribution to the topic of manifestation. This whole acting. And I called it the AFM technique. So, but you know, so it's like, I have the intention, I have the feeling, but it's the belief system that I call on again and again and again to go deeper into the subconscious with my healer. Yeah. So I'm just so grateful for the work that you're doing in the world, for, you know, all that you're discovering and the dots that you're connecting and the way that you're going deep into the subconscious and healing where, you know, these transformational tools not are falling short, but we just need this deeper work for the whole picture, for all those dots to come together and people really to be stepping into their greatness, you know, because that's the only thing in the way of us and the life of our dreams is us and our crappy belief systems. So it's just extraordinary, all of it.
Completely. And I do believe that, you know, the feeling is the most important part. That is specifically when we go into the memories, we change the feeling behind the belief. It's actually, you do all of it at once, you know, and you do all of it at once at the origin of the pattern of survival. So you are literally reprogramming the brain. You're literally reprogramming the patterning of your brain through belief and emotion all in one sitting.
Wow.
So it's quite powerful.
Yeah,
you know, it's quite powerful. Really. And I'm a believer in, you know, also like what you were saying, I think was really super interesting about that acting, you know, it's funny. I only watch one TV show and people are like, how do you watch that? You know, Miss Healer. I watch Game of Thrones.
That's a good
violent,
one,
you know, completely.
It's not Hollywood Housewives, like, Dana.
No, please. Vomit, excuse me. Anyway, so why do I love it? I love it because the acting is, it's just so good. The acting and the writing. And you believe, you're just so enthralled with these characters because they're so profoundly good at what they do and their acting. Yeah. And it's you can't tell the difference between fantasy and reality.
It's seamless.
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, can you tell everybody where they can get the free gift and how they can work with you and all that great stuff?
Yes. So I have a website. It's my name. It's Danna Pycher, Pycher.com. Again, it's Danna Pycher.com. And I have a free gift. It's the 5 steps to manifesting your best reality. You can just go in and download. And also, typically now I work one-on-one with people, but I'm about to open group sessions for both disease and weight loss, which will be hosted virtually. And many exciting things to come that I'll keep you posted about. Very,
great.
Very exciting things. Yeah.
And you work online Skype one-on-one as well as in Fort Lauderdale, Miami live one-on-one, correct?
Yes. So I have an office in Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and about a third of my clientele, I work with people all over the world via Skype.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's awesome. And then I definitely want to bring you in to meet my tribe at the Standard when we go through our healing module, which is week 7. So we'll have to coordinate that to have you come in as a speaker and just let them know about your incredible work that you're doing, because it takes a village.
Takes a village. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So fabulous having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I love
this.
And thank you for helping spread the beautiful word of healing, and may many, many, many people find it however they find it. And I always say, never take no for an answer. There's always a resource. Keep going and view it as a healing journey. You're not suffering in the healing. You're just looking for new resources, and everything that you can do is just part of the journey to bring you to higher and better feelings.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And again, everybody, this has been Jennifer Grace with Getting Unstuck, Making Shift Happen. Always go to my free giveaways at jennifergrace.com/free stuff. And remember, my friends, this show is as real as it's going to get.